Hello, my friends. Andy and Hedy coming to you in a very late night version of Living Fearless Devotion.
Good evening.
Those of you on the podcast don't know any different.
Right.
Probably.
It's not that late. It's only 8 o'clock.
Unless they're used to listening to it on the evening of the day that we do a devotional.
True.
They could be affected by this. And also, what we want to make sure and bring your attention to is this up here, this URL. It's the CaliforniaParentAlliance.org, CaliforniaParentAlliance.org. There'll be some news coming soon about why I'm promoting that so strongly, but I just want to get a head start while we have a whole bunch of people that have seemingly, because we've even been stopped at restaurants recently and said, you're the people that do this thing.
Yes.
The school boards and all this kind of stuff. So any of you that are watching that are in California in particular, go there. On the right-hand side, you can subscribe and be a part of the, or, you know, at least get the notifications. And I can try to sell you any Viagra or, you know, a trip to Tahiti.
No.
It's for really good, solid information on how we can put the schools back into the power of the parents.
Yes.
And not in the power of the government. Now, there's some aspects of the government which takes taxes and then funds schools and stuff like that. That's all good.
Yes.
But stay out of the teaching part.
Stay out of teaching?
Yeah, they've been messing it up. Let us help you teach. Let us help you come up with a curriculum.
Oh, no. And, we got to now make up the curriculums of the schools?
I don't know. But let's do something. I mean, it's not working what they're doing.
Well, they just got to stop doing stuff other than teaching.
Right.
They need to go back to teaching.
Yeah, teaching. There you go. That's a better way.
Yes.
Actually teaching.
Yes.
Good
math,
stuff.
Science.
Right.
English.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
It's so commonsensical.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right. So go there. We are also live streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and now Rumble, if you've not heard. So you can go there. Please go to Rumble and just type in the search, Living Fearless Devotional. That'll bring up the page. And then also subscribe. I don't know if they have a bell or what they have, but something to get notifications. Click on that. Just in case we get pulled off the other platforms. And then, of course, we have our podcast, which you can find on Edify. Edify is a Christian podcasting network. We'll be telling you a little bit later on how to do all that and how to get the app. Smith Wigglesworth, devotional.
Yes.
Get the book. Go there. You'll love it. The book is amazing. And in any case, in any time you can't get on with us, you have the book available and you can just go along with us as we move forward. So today, with Smith Wigglesworth Devotional, October 16th, the title is A Flame for God. Hebrews 1:7 is the reference, and it says, He makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. Can we just go through that really quick? I had to kind of get a little bit of clarification on this. In regard to the angels. Now, the angels have never been human beings, right? They're not like the souls of humans or anything.
No.
They are
spirits.
Angels, just spirits. What is the power of an angel? What do they have?
They have all different kinds of God's made a bunch of different kinds of angels, some that minister, some that protect, some that are messengers. Some
Cupid help you fall in love. Is that one of
not that I know of. Not that I know of. We have Angel Gabriel. We have the four archangels.
Oh, yes.
And
the devil is an angel.
With fallen angel.
Fallen
yes.
Angel. Yeah.
Yes. And they are to serve human beings and the kingdom and heaven.
But they don't have that great. I mean, they have good power. But what this is saying here is then it goes into his ministers, which is us. Right?
Yes.
Us.
Yes.
We, his ministers, a flame of fire.
Yes.
That sounds like it's important.
It is supremely important.
Okay. I just want to get some clarification. Sometimes you read these things like, oh, that sounds really sweet. But what does it mean? Just want to make sure I understand it. The scripture reading is Hebrews 1. Smith says, God's ministers are to be flames of fire. It seems to me that no man with a vision, especially a vision by the Spirit's power, can read that wonderful verse without being kindled to such a flame of fire for his Lord that it seems as if it would burn up everything that would interfere with his progress.
Yes.
Ah, that goes good with our discussion.
There you go.
Thank you for that. We'll revisit that just so you know what we were talking about. A flame of fire. It is a perpetual fire, a constant fire, a continual burning, a holy inward flame, which is exactly what God's Son was in the world. God has nothing less for us than to be flames. It seems to me that if Pentecost is to rise and be effective, we must have a living faith so that Christ's great might and power can flow through us until our lives become energized, moved, and aflame for God. The important point here is that the Holy Spirit has come to make Jesus king. It seems to me that the seed, the life that was given to us when we believed, which is an eternal seed, an eternal seed, has such resurrection power that I see a new creation rising from it with kingly qualities.
Mm.
Not only is the king to be within us, but also all the glories of his kingly manifestations are to be brought forth in us. Oh, for him to work in us in this way, melting us until a new order arises within us so that we are moved with his compassion. I see that we can come into the order of God where the vision becomes so much brighter and where the Lord is manifesting his glory with all his virtues and gifts. All his glory seems to fill the soul who is absolutely dead to himself and alive to God. There is much talk about death, but there is a death that is so deep in God that out of that death, God brings the splendor of his life and all his glory. An opportunity to be a flame of fire for God came when I was traveling from Egypt to Italy. What I now tell you truly happened. On the ship and everywhere, God had been with me. A man on the ship suddenly collapsed. His wife was in a terrible state, and everybody else seemed to be too. Some said that he would die, but oh, to be a flame, to have the living Christ dwelling within you. We are backslidden if we have to pray for power, if we have to wait until we feel a sense of his presence. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Within you is a greater power than there is in the world. Oh, to be awakened out of our unbelief into a place of daring for God on the authority of the blessed book. So in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the devil, and to the astonishment of the man's wife and the man himself, he was able to stand. He said, "What is this? It is all going all over me. I have never felt anything like this before." I had that same feeling. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, the power of God shook him. God has given us authority over the power of the devil. Oh, that we may live in the place where the glory excels.
Amen.
It would make anyone a flame of fire. The thought for today, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is to crown Jesus King in our lives.
I love the play on fire.
Yes.
Where it is a flame that burns our fleshly desires and needs, so that we die to everything that is of self, so that Jesus is king, and it flame burns. It hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. In order for it all to be burned away and left only with the flame of God, it's going to hurt. Kind of like what Pastor Matt said today too, it takes sacrifice to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Takes sacrifice. It takes action. It is a sacrificial love.
On the lower level, what you're going to sacrifice is time. When you're
right,
serving it starts somebody, when you're serving.
Yeah,
it starts with time. Then it may move into some type of work. Now, it's not that you have to have works in order to get into heaven. It's just there's going to be some time.
Right.
And then you may, you know.
And the time is in work.
And, you know, an elderly woman, maybe she's having trouble getting groceries. And that work will be you going to the grocery store, buying the groceries and delivering them, even though there are these apps. She may not have to use an app.
Yes.
But there's your time and then your effort. Sometimes I know people that paint people's houses that, you know, that if the houses.
Sure.
That kind of stuff. And then you go all the way to where you have to serve somewhere. Like minister in a very dangerous area.
Exactly.
So it could be time to put your life on the line.
Absolutely.
You know, I said this before we came on camera, that it's, I find it interesting how the Bible uses fire and flame, that it's used to talk about hell, right? And then it, and it's used in a story where three men were put into fire and didn't burn. There was a fourth. And that whole story is about it. It didn't burn. Yep. So it shows how you have protection. And then it's also now shown to burn you clean and have the desire burning so strongly on you that you want to go out and no matter what, nothing's going to stop you. I mean, it's used in so many different ways.
And Moses heard from God in a burning bush.
Yes.
That God manifested as flame.
Hmm. So it brings me to my question, because this question came up afterwards, is it because fire was, I mean, there's so many things that we have that are really important, you know, in our world, like a sure. car, you know, air conditioning. And, you know, for us, I'm just saying, and the luxuries of life. But in those days, you needed a fire to do a lot of different stuff. You couldn't eat without fire, really. I mean, I guess you could live on vegetables, but the flame was way. Is it because at that time the fire, the burning was so important to so many things? It was light. You had to have flame to have light. We have light bulbs. We don't use a torch to light our way around anywhere.
Right.
Candles. Do you think that that's why it just seemed to be so dominant in so many areas of the Bible? Because it was such a dominant power?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I just wanted your opinion. I didn't know if you actually knew the answer to the story. I'm just wondering because I just think, why so much fire in the Bible?
Well, and I mean, he also says that that when he comes first, the first time he destroyed the earth was by water, but the last will be by fire.
Mm.
And people, when the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples at Pentecost, it came as tongues of fire. Mm. And the Lord, a guest on our show, Remnant Rising, yesterday was telling us that when he had a vision of his baptism, he saw it as oil that was dripping, that was lit on fire. Wow. And then when he saw the Lord, a manifestation of the Lord, he was of fire and his hands were fire when he touched him. Wow. So there's...
Oh, that's why that on the slides that we saw.
Yes.
Now that makes sense.
Yes. So the Lord manifests to many people and is supposed to manifest in our lives as fire. So there's just a lot of references to fire. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit fire.
Pills in Ibiza says hi to you, madam.
Hello.
Unless you're saying hi to me.
No, you're not, madam.
I love our friends on Twitch. You never know what's going to come across Twitch.
You never know.
I love it. Fire is very
significant. Dominant,
very significant. And I think that, you know, just everywhere you walk, there's fire. I mean, in those days, 2,000, 3,000 years ago.
It was significant for sustenance, for warmth. Even when, it's just the manifestation of Moses. All throughout the Bible, there's the element of fire. Mm. Old to New Testament. Mm. And in the last days.
It's an infantile a question, but it's just like it just hit me like with all these references to the flames, because and then this one I love it. I love the reference. It's so perfect for what it is for the discussion that we're having today. If you want to tackle that later on, we have a question that came across our screen here.
Yes.
The other thing that is interesting is down towards the where it says, where is it that says if you have to pray?
We are backslidden if we have to pray for power.
There it is, right at the top. That's so good because it question if you have to pray, like I was saying, you know, before we went on, is that it's almost as if you're questioning God.
You're questioning that you contain the power.
Right. If you believe everything that we've read, and the devotionals in particular said, it continually tells us he lives in you.
Right.
He is there. He is always ready and he's able and waiting to help you through anything.
Right.
And
to help others.
Right. It's not like you have to go, Jesus,
where are you?
I need your help. This man is sick. Are you gonna come and help me? Like, but that what he's saying here is that if you have to do that, if you think that you have to do that, then you're not really baptized.
Or you're just backslidden. You're just fallen out.
Yeah.
Of alignment.
Dang it. Then I got to stop. This, you know, what we're talking about when we talk about going to the beach and discipling or street preaching. That's the word I was looking for. Is that I got to have faith that he's there. I always think that I don't know if I have enough power.
No. So, always got the power.
And I think that's probably why I was thinking about when he talks about the, you know, the power is so strong in that, in the, actually the reference at the top was that the minister is a flame of fire. We are the fire. We have the power.
It's absolutely. Absolutely.
And to question it is questioning your faith.
Absolutely. And that I love the example of him healing the man and sending that fire, because he reiterates here that it's always for the glorification of the Lord. Mm. So it's not so that you look like you're engaged in some kind of sorcery. You are healing in Jesus's name. You're rebuking the devil in Jesus's name. And then Jesus gets all the glory because the man says, "Oh my God, what's happening to me?" And he's like, "You just encountered Christ."
Yeah.
So everything that we do that manifests his gifts must be for his glory, not for ours.
Yeah. We got to always remember that.
Yes. It's very important.
I say we, but it's probably me. So we already read Hebrews. I just read it again. And then we have Acts 1:8.
"But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Again, just reiterating that the power that comes upon us having been baptized with the Holy Spirit is the, all the power that God has given Christ.
I love this. It makes me think of being a police officer that, you know, where I was a police officer in Anaheim, it gave me police powers,
right,
in the state of California. Many people believe that if I pulled them over in Riverside, because sometimes I'd have to drive my police car to something and then the car would be speeding past me and I'd pull it over and say, "You're a little out of your jurisdiction. You don't have any police powers here." But, no, I mean, it's in the state of California.
If you go to Nevada, I mean,
Nevada. But that's what I like about this is that it's, he's telling you that in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and then to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
So how much greater power is that? I had just one state.
That's it.
I didn't even have really the rest of the United States.
There you go.
Even carrying a gun. There's some states that we can, but some states we can't. But when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power. It's always there. It never leaves you no matter where you go. The Holy Spirit buys a ticket when you buy a ticket to travel somewhere. He's right there with you.
Inside of you.
That's a heck of a way to put it. 1 John 4:4.
"You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So it is, again, just manifesting the Lord's power in us. And I love this line in Hebrews where he says, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet," which is from the Old Testament, which is scripture from Psalm 110. Which is also prophesying the coming of Christ.
I love the prophecies.
Yes.
They're my favorite.
Yes. So Pills in Ibiza, we were going to answer your question.
Yeah, I said,
but we were just waiting until we were finished. So Pills in Ibiza asks, "Explain the contradictions in the Bible." And actually, I will tell you, there are no contradictions in the Bible. That's actually what makes the veracity, the truth of the Bible so majestic, is that there are no contradictions in the Bible. And I invite you to point out even one. And interestingly enough, Hebrews 1 goes through specific scripture that prophesied the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is about, if I'm not mistaken, about 600 prophecies that are foretold, and 300 plus or so prophesy the coming of Jesus Christ, of which he fulfilled every single one.
Nice.
Yes.
What would you say, I mean, if you have one in mind, and we didn't expect this question, but is there one that's like a pretty common?
Born in Bethlehem to a virgin birth. So those in particular are ones that people cite to all the time, that it was Jesus because it came from a virgin birth.
Hmm.
Mary.
I'm just trying to think. That one didn't come to me.
That one did not come to you?
No. I'm trying to think what a contradict. I mean, because I know that I've used to use a bunch of things back in the day. I think that they've just disappeared. Now I can't even bring one up.
I thought you meant what are some of the prophecies?
No,
okay,
no, so contradictions.
There are none. So how could I bring
them
up?
But I mean, people will bring them up as if it's a contradiction. I know that there's been certain things.
Oh, really?
That people have presented. And I feel like I used to use one or two that I thought was a contradiction and found out that it wasn't.
Oh,
so I'm just
I don't know
to
what
find
those are.
Those up.
If Pills from Ibiza has some in mind, please let us know.
I'm trying to think of what I mean, the only other thing would be something like, somebody misstates the part of the Bible that says that love of money is the root of all evil. When they try to say money is the root of all evil. It's not that's not the phrase.
Oh,
have you ever heard people like say, yeah, money is evil. The Bible even says so. And it's just, no,
the love
of money is the root of all evil.
And that's a contradiction people want.
I think so. I'm trying to figure out what it means. Because I'll say a contradiction would be a wealthy man, you know, being a Christian.
Oh,
you can't be a Christian and be wealthy.
No,
that would be a contradiction.
Oh, no.
And people will say, well, how can you be rich and, you know,
still
have
be a
all
Christian.
This money
and,
you know, drive a Bentley and still be a Christian? You can't, because the Bible says love of money, money is the root of all evil. They forget that part, or they leave that part out.
Oh, yeah.
And that, we see that on CNN all the time. Right. Things are like, no, that's not what happened. This is what it said. Like vermictin, the drug that they claim is a horse, like it's something that for fleas or something like that. I forget what they're saying,
uh-huh.
But they're trying to say it's horse paste. It's a veterinary medicine.
Oh, goodness.
And then they've heard, well, no, it's actually both. It's a human in a pill form that is very effective for pests that are in your body.
Oh, okay.
Parasites in a pill form. But then they want to say just because it's used in veterinarian that now all of a sudden that's all it's used for. No, it actually won a Nobel.
Oh, you mean it's used, it has veterinarian purposes.
It does.
Okay.
Just like aspirin does. I've given dogs aspirin.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it a veterinary medicine.
Right.
But it does help with certain things.
Makes sense.
And there's a great meme that I just posted that it's because it has to do with Joe Rogan, who used that drug.
Uh-huh.
He said it seemed to help, along with some other drugs. So
sure.
But it was one of the things he took. Well, they were trying to say, how dare you tell people that you took this horse paste? And he's going, no, that's a lie. It's really a pill form, and it's a great medicine. It's received
numerous
awards and all this kind of stuff. And so the meme is that it's a picture of Joe Rogan saying, I just drank some water. And then CNN's reporting that Joe Rogan is taking something that's, you know, used as radiator fluid in a car.
Oh,
so he's drinking stuff that's used in a car as opposed to that it's water.
Ah,
so anyway, it's a long explanation, but that's the thing that I was thinking he was saying is a contradiction. That people that are rich cannot be Christians.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm waiting. I was hoping he was going to come up with another one.
He or she.
Pills in Ibiza. But nothing. I know there's another one out there that, which is the only thing.
Well, I know as a former Muslim, they say that Jesus never referred. I mean, there's tons of things that Muslims say that Jesus never referred to him as himself as Lord. It was only the apostles. False. The red letters in the Bible, Jesus referred to himself as the Son repeatedly. And they claim because he didn't actually take the pen that those aren't his words, which is just false.
Right.
These are, you know, direct quotations from the Lord that were taken by the apostles. And the Bible is one of the only holy books that was written within the first century after Christ. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, we're the only one with a prophet that has an empty tomb. I mean, with the Jesus, there's no body in the tomb.
Right.
As opposed to every other religion that has a body or a shrine or a tomb or something that has a dead person in it. That's the proof of his resurrection.
Right.
There's no body in that. In that tomb.
And there were so many witnesses to his death.
Yes.
So many witnesses to his burial. yes. know, put in the cave. That and yet there's no body. How can you have that many people, including Roman soldiers, who were guarding the tomb?
Yes.
And then there's no body.
Right.
And everybody knows where all these other people's bodies are.
Right.
And Stalin and.
It's one of the only holy books that has massive amounts of historical data that confirms the accuracy of the reporting of him being on earth, the number of eyewitnesses that saw him after the resurrection. It's just the prophecies themselves. I mean, the prophecies themselves in the Old Testament that are written 600 years, 700 years before Christ comes to earth, and he fulfills those, are proof in and of itself. I mean, we've read some of them in church at times, and we're like, wow, is this really written? You know, is this really there? And it is. And we've discovered that. And that's actually one of the greatest confirmations of the veracity, the truth of the Bible.
I love it when Mark Driscoll, he's a pastor with Trinity Church in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's done some really cool messages on the existence of Jesus.
Yes.
And to paraphrase, is that there's so much evidence of Jesus. There's more evidence of Jesus than me being on this planet. I mean, with all the record keeping and that kind of stuff.
There's right.
just everything. I mean, you can't deny that he existed.
Most people don't. There's not a faith that I could account for that right. that denies that he existed. They deny that he was the Son of God. And so what a lot of scholars say is they say, you have to either believe he was either crazy, mm-hmm. a liar, or the Son of God, because you can't be all of them. So the Muslims would always argue out of this by saying, Jesus didn't call himself this. Well, no, he did. So either you believe he's a great man of God, and if you say he's a prophet, how could he lie? Mm-hmm. Right there in and of itself is a contradiction from the other face. If you want to say he's a great man, but he wasn't the Son of God, then how could he said all these things and be a liar?
Right.
And why were so many, really great testament is they say, why would so many people, the apostles, die such gruesome deaths for a lie?
Right.
Why would they succumb to such persecution? They didn't become wealthy. They didn't become land barons. So why would they suffer such poverty, such persecution, such harm, such stonings and floggings and execution for a lie?
Right.
Why would they do it?
They wouldn't. Knowing human nature.
Knowing human nature, most of
at
us
at some would, point you go, okay, I've had enough.
Most people, why is torture banned? Because most people will confess just about anything being tortured. Just ask people at Guantanamo, you know. So it just that in and of itself, just human nature, tells us that he had to have been who he says he is.
Yeah, and Jesus shows up in most faiths somewhere in the writings.
Yes,
a very important character.
Yes.
In there. That's what.
Yes. Saying, he's never maligned.
No. So he's a prophet.
Yes. Yeah. Or a holy man or this great figure or this. I mean, even the Times reported him. He's the most revered man on earth, even by non-Christians.
Yep. You think with all that notice, all the people that were with him every step of the way, they would have reported something bad. Like right. nobody can. There's
there
nobody
you go.
That's safe.
Right.
And again, especially when you're under a knife or, using flames in front of your eyes, you know, tell us the truth. Yeah, Jesus was fantastic. He
right. And if I'm not miracles. Mistaken, I think it was Barnabas that was skinned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And still didn't forsake Christ.
If you're going to pull a Band-Aid off of me, I would say, okay.
So true.
I've got to tell you the truth. Oh my gosh. I was hoping Pills and Ibiza would come back with something else.
You can't.
This wasn't patient. He or she says, okay, don't answer that. That speaks volumes. You know, as you probably know, most shows, even our little tiny show here, has a schedule and a show flow is what we call it in the business. So we have a little bit of a show flow that we had to get through first, and or else it would throw everything off. Orale. So we went to Friends Church tonight. This is going to be, this has become our new routine. Friends Church, Yorba Linda, is the church I attended prior to COVID. And then everything changed once COVID hit. And so, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, went back for the first time since COVID. And, well, actually, that's not true. I did go back one other time when I was in the parking lot. I was very disappointed. Just that it was in the parking lot.
Right.
When our church is inside the building. And so it's the first time back since then. And the message today really, it's an important one. I don't know what's harder is to fight going back into my flesh on a regular basis, mm-hmm. right? Back to who I was before I was saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard, right? Just every 10 seconds is hard. Or the message that he gave today about love.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Just
sacrificial love.
Yes. I know that
not convenient.
I know
love.
They're very similar, but love is unconditional. It's
sacrificial, which is different than unconditional.
How do you feel about that message today? Is that an easy one for you to be in that state that he wants us to be in?
Of course not. But it was a great reminder that he said, love requires action, and action will change your life and the life of those around you. And it's absolutely true, because the demonstration of love, and not just saying, because he was citing scripture in James that it refers to, if your brother or sister is hungry and cannot eat or cannot house themselves, and all you say is be well and have peace, what good does that do him? So it's kind of this superficial Christianese that we do with church and be like, oh, I love you and, you know, God bless. But if we're not willing to stick our necks out and be there for people when they're hurting or when they're struggling and they need help with something, if we don't extend a helping hand, then how are we demonstrating brotherly or sisterly love?
Right.
It requires action.
That was something of a Bible study that I do now. And one of the reasons why it's become a cool thing to go back to the church is because I'm in a Bible study based on the messages currently at Friends Church of Yorba Linda. And one of the questions, or one of the topics that was brought up in the men's Bible study, it's not just a men's, but in our situation, it is just men. And it had to do with that thing, is that you're going to tell somebody either online or when you run into them at the grocery store and you see them limping, or you see them with a very long face, and you go, oh, Fred, is everything okay? No, you know, this is happening.
Okay.
This is happening. Okay. No, you take the next step.
Yeah.
And you say, I'm going to pray for you. And then you never do.
Yeah. Oh, so goodness.
So I'm not sure how the question was brought up, but that came up.
And yeah. Saying, it's like it's like a cliche.
And Rob says, I really worked hard to not be that guy.
Oh.
And to make sure that when I say I'm going to pray for you, that I actually pray for you.
Yes.
Whether it's, I'm going to try to remember. I'm going to remember, not try. I tell people all the time, take try out of your vocabulary. Should never use the word try. Okay. I'm going to put in my notes when I say that to somebody.
Oh, good.
So that I do it.
Yeah.
And I that's hard because I don't even write stuff in my calendar.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I'm just going to smile.
Yeah, but
it's a great to-do thing.
But I think that goes in line with today's message.
Absolutely.
Don't say things. I don't want to say things to you that I don't follow through on. Right? I'll stop and get you a Starbucks coffee on the way back from somewhere. And then I get one for myself and come home and go, oh, I forgot.
Oh, right? You never do that.
I never do that. But I'm saying I love you. I don't want to. I would rather remember yours and forget mine.
Yes.
I mean, at all costs. And a number of other things. Like if I'm going to say I'm going to do something, and if I forget, which can happen, I go, oh man, I'm so sorry. Like it hurts. It really hurts. That is that love that we have.
Right.
That
absolutely.
What I'm getting from the message today is that we have to have that same feeling for our fellow man on earth. Not just Christians, right?
Well, I mean, he was talking about the family of believers first, mm-hmm. brothers and sisters. And I mean, if we could do that, but he also is talking about access service. So it's to the foster kid program. It's the homeless ministry. It is the missionary work. It is reaching out beyond us. I mean, remember the other day I went up to a woman whose husband had gotten this crazy altercation in the parking lot. I went up to her and I'm like, are you okay? You know, do you need anything? You know, I'm sure this is pretty traumatic for you. She wasn't interested in having my help, but I felt this burning compassion to say something to her, mm-hmm. you know, and to just, I don't know, manifest Christ the best I could. And whether or not she accepted it at the moment, I hope it stuck with her.
Yeah. What about you guys? You ever have any difficulty with the if you're a Christian in particular, with the L word?
Love.
I got a big problem with you. I don't have a problem with my kids, but it's other people.
Yes.
I've told people for years in my flesh, and hopefully it's not as bad as it was. I'm a horrible friend. It's horrible because I don't return phone calls. I just very selfish, I think. I don't know what it is. It was a bad deal. But I'm getting better.
Good. Because you should work on that.
I've called Everett a couple times now just because I wanted to, you know.
O'Keefe?
And just to say hi. One person I've been thinking a lot about is Carlene. I haven't talked to her in a while.
Oh, you should.
I may need to reach out to her and call her. But you see, I got to get better.
We all have to.
I should love my friends.
We all have to. And then we expand the circle.
Yeah.
But it's good practice. Friends are the best because you already have something.
I'm going to start there.
Yeah. That's a great start.
He convicted me.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So let us know whether you're watching live or the replay. If you have problems with
and think about it, give it some thought as to who you could demonstrate love to. We find little examples every now and then. We have church friends that need something from us. We have other people that call on us every now and then. You have a friend in particular that's asked for help with this puppy, and I keep kind of nudging you about.
See,
we need to go do that.
That's a horrible person. I gotta get better. Something's gotta happen.
Well, we could start with him.
Well, quite honestly, being my third wife, I said, is that I needed to really work on this love.
Oh yeah. You got it down pretty good.
Now I can move on to another little tidbit.
You could.
So I had the kids. That was easy. I know what it is that the kids. You're born with it or you're not.
Yeah, I mean, kids, yeah.
And then the next thing was relationship.
Yes.
Am I doing okay?
Fantastic. You can now move on to brotherly, not sisterly love for right now, but let's just focus on brotherly love.
Now you brought up that with the doctrine. Now you hit me. You hit me right.
It's looming over my head. That's why I bring it up every couple of days, because I really want us to do that for him.
If I only have one skill in my life, it is doctrine.
Yes.
It's the one thing that I can do.
Yes. It costs you nothing to do it. Just a little time.
Memory came up with Cesar Milan and I were doing a show together, and a memory came up on Facebook with he and I on there.
Uh-huh.
And for just a second, I go, you know what? I should go back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I go, nah. No. 30 years,
yeah.
30 some odd years, 35 years of dog training.
No, but you could help a friend. You know?
Yeah, I should have a friend. Priscilla says, hey, y'all, I'm late to the party.
Hey, Priscilla.
At least you're here.
We're going to see you tomorrow at church.
You missed Pills in Ibiza asking us about explain the contradictions in the Bible. If you happen to watch the replay, I'm not sure how interested you are enough to watch the replay or not, but we went through some things and trying to figure out what a contradiction might be. So if you have any ideas, Priscilla, let us know. And anybody else that may be watching the replay, please feel free to put them in there so that we can see what you think about what contradictions in the Bible might be to somebody who's not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
As Hedia said, there's no contradictions, but there are many people that try to make one up.
Yes.
I'll be at church tomorrow.
Oh, great. Yes.
Nice.
We look forward to seeing you. Church is always an adventure. It's a new time. We go to Calvary Chapel.
What time are you going? Out of the way, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills now has four services on Sunday. So I would think she's probably going to the 10 o'clock. Is it 10 o'clock?
10:30.
She'll be showing us at any minute now. What else that, about
10:30.
Nice.
Great.
There was something else I was just going to ask you about. And it was
relevant.
It was amazing and it was relevant.
Because they could be random subjects. If you needed a late night snack or something, but
you hit me with Bruce, and you just like,
yes, because I love Bruce. He has a special place in our lives.
Is my nose bleeding? I just
feel like
I got punched in the face.
We may be able to.
Make I know what I was going to say. You know, somebody that shows love, and it's funny that are you know that we don't see her as often. Very often we see her a lot, and that's Jay.
Yeah, absolutely. She epitomizes great. That.
Yes.
And we had a chance to pay some of that back to show kindness. She needed some advice. Yes.
Thank you for reminding me of that.
Yes. We tried to give back some brotherly, sisterly love, which was nice. It's always rewarding when you do it. It just takes the first step. Satan tries to stop you. The enemy's like, you don't have time. And you don't want to do this. Yes. But once you do it, it's really rewarding. It's so important.
But you dialed the phone. I got to do something.
We got to leave one that's totally on you.
All right. Yes. I did do a little talking on that.
Good. Oh yeah, you did. Don't once we dialed, you were tuned in.
I was all in.
You were all in.
Yeah.
You're fantastic.
Yeah, Priscilla says 10:30 and then she doesn't have to leave Bakersfield until 5:30 AM.
Doesn't have to leave at 5:30.
Doesn't have to leave.
Yes. That's nice. But I hope you don't hit a lot of traffic by leaving later. It's still Sunday, but
yeah. What time are you leaving your house for church back when you were living in Simi?
5:30.
Yeah. That means women have to get up at what, midnight?
Yeah. I'm telling you, starting at 3:00, the Lord's like, are you getting ready? You're getting ready. It's going to be time to go soon. Going to be time to go soon. I would wake up at 5:30. I would leave, I think, at 6:30. Yeah.
Hey, worship was really good at your ability tonight.
It was nice.
I thought the girl really was. She's a really good singer.
She was a great
singer.
I haven't
seen her in a while, but I don't know her name. Sorry, I would tell you. But she really had a good voice. Tomorrow is 1 year for you. Oh,
thank you for that, Priscilla. So true.
Tomorrow is our 1 year anniversary. It Snuggles. Is. I was gonna tell you that.
It is. Thank you, Priscilla. It's on my calendar. I think it's on our calendar.
Yeah. Wow, 1 year.
Yes.
This should be a bigger deal than what we're making of it.
Oh, it should be. Well, we don't have Battle of the Teenagers tomorrow, so.
Oh, that's true too. Yes. Look at how we arrange that.
Isn't it?
You know what? The best part about this anniversary is that we are spending it where we met.
Yes.
That is so good.
Absolutely. It's the nexus of our relationship it's the third rope of the braid.
Yeah. And the person who is our go-to for remembering dates will be there.
Yeah, there you go.
If it wasn't for her, we would never remember when we met or when we got married.
How funny is that? It just feels like we've known each other forever.
Yes. On the day that we met, I know that you guys are all interested in this. And the day that we met was, of course, the non-essential conference over Calvary.
You remember the name?
Yes, I know. I didn't even hardly hesitate.
You didn't.
And we met in line by chance. We'll go over this a little bit more tomorrow. But what I wanted to get to is we met by chance. Then we ended up sitting together. I forced you.
Yes.
You did. I told you I was a cop, so he thought I was packing. So you said, I'm going to better sit with this guy. With my 14-year-old son, 13-year-old son at the time.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, 13. And following that, we went out to lunch.
Yes.
And we had...
I had froyo.
And you had froyo. And I don't know, I had a bowl or something like that.
Yes.
I was so...
Ahi tuna bowl thing. Just awe.
In awe of you that I forgot what I ate.
That's so sweet. I ate
food, though.
Yes, it was a bowl. One of those poke bowls.
Yeah, poke bowl. Yeah. Then the next day was church.
Yep. And we had McDonald's in the parking lot.
And you showed up and I showed up. I was hoping you were going to show up. And then you didn't sit with me. You sat with your friends because you said we can't touch. We were sitting next to each other. You didn't want people to know.
That wasn't that day. That was a couple weeks later.
But then our first you know, family. So you met everybody right away, and we sat in the parking lot of McDonald's and ate lunch.
Yes.
So those are just a little bit of the memories that we'll probably talk more in detail later on. But what a crazy year, right? So much has happened.
So much has happened.
It seems like we've been together for 5 years.
When you let the Holy Spirit run your life, he will rearrange all the furniture and throw some stuff out while he's at it too. And you'll be like, wait, what? Where'd that go? I like that rug. Wait, I have to get rid of that rug? I mean, he just totally, did you ever think that you would sell your house?
No. I thought we were going to live there for
yeah.
a very long time. I was trying to figure out how I was going to do it, but I knew I was going to do it. I was going to turn the garage into a bedroom. Which many people have done. That's not that unusual, yeah. But that's what I was prepared to do.
Wow.
And had made that decision and I told Kelly, I said, I'm going to move you into the garage. Well, I said, don't worry. We're going to make it into a nice room. And
nice. He was going to get the garage.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, not me. That'd be
cool. I was going to end up in the garage.
Yeah.
No.
You're kind of super dad. So you never know.
It depends on how nice I made it. If I made it into like a man cave,
right.
I probably would be
in the garage. You okay. You get the other bedroom. I'm taking the man cave.
Yes.
Okay. I think we should let our guests know.
No, I have one more question. That's only 47 minutes. No, I have one more question.
Okay.
Do you think now that we have this year anniversary mm-hmm. that people will stop
saying we just met?
Well, they'll say, hey, when did you guys meet? And anybody that knows, that lives in this area, that's a Christian, knows Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills.
Yes.
And they know that when they were open, that they'd never closed. And they know that we met at that church during COVID. And people start going, during COVID, that's only like... And you said, we met at the... And if we say the non-essential, then they go, oh, I remember that. That was like not even a year ago. And wait, and you guys are already married? And they start going, wait a minute. What? You think it'll end now, or is it still too?
I know. I think it'll be a while till it ends. It'll be a while till it ends. We're still newlyweds.
All right.
Still less than a year we've been married.
Yeah. Whenever we make reservations at the restaurant, we still say, they say, is it a special occasion? Well, yeah, we just got married.
Yes. We usually end up with a free dessert or some sort.
Dessert. We've gotten free meals.
Yes.
We got a free ribeye one day, I think it was, right?
Yes, at Rembrandt's.
Yeah, Rembrandt's. We had a ribeye.
But that was
soon after.
It was like a couple of days after we were married.
That was for real. So that's the reason why we kept doing it. You know, can we get another ribeye? And he brought us a big gigantic wedding cake.
It was
that was our reception, was at Rembrandt's, whether we knew it or not. But
Now
we'll let you guys go. We just had a couple memorabilia things that made no sense. Memories we had to go through. Thank you, Priscilla, for joining us. If you think of any contradictions, those of you that are watching, not live, or Priscilla, thank you.
Ridiculous, quite frankly.
If you can think of any of those things, if you have any stories about how love has either challenged you as a Christian, if that idea, it's more than an idea. It's a requirement, I think.
Yeah, well, any new commitments you want to make, new commitments you want to make to love better or to love certain people better.
Yeah, important.
Absolutely.
Now that I learned about it tonight. And you reminded me how a horrible friend I am.
No.
With Bruce, I haven't helped him with his dog.
We're going to do it.
All right. We're doing it this week. Okay.
No, we could do it next weekend.
Okay.
We don't have kids.
All right.
All of the kids.
All right. All right, my friends.
We love you. God bless. Have a great rest of your day or evening, whatever it may be for you when you're listening.
Yes. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Sorry, my friends, we got to play the Edify app. That's my promise to the Christian Podcast Network that we would play this ad. And I forgot to do it before our outro. Don't tell anybody. Here you go.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcast today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's EDIFI.app. edifi.app.